Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And welcome back to the App Betches podcast. I'm Sammy.
And I'm Aileen. And Jordana is out today. So you've just got me and Sammy.
It's us.
It's us.
Jessica. You know what? It is a shame because Jordana's top artist or favorite artist is one of our topics today.
Brendan Fraser.
Selena. Right. Brendan Fraser. I mean,
yeah. Oh, yeah. So we're talking about Selena. Selena Gomez. Not Brendan Fraser.
Big. I love what's our Selena topic today. I'm excited about it.
I agree. Let's save it. Let's talk about the Oscars because that's literally all that is on the interwebs.
Remember we used to like really love the Oscars? I do feel they had a little bit of a valley. And now I feel like I'm interested again. This year, the movies I thought were way better.
This year, the movies are great. You know, I have to see what this step and repeat's going to look like.
Because, do they have a step and repeat at the Oscars?
Yeah, for sure. There's a backdrop that people take photos against. It's not a step and repeat, which was my issue with the Emmys. It should really just be a fucking curtain without any logos.
Isn't it usually? Or I just thought it's usually like the carpet.
It's the carpet, right.
Just the carpet. Right. The problem with the Emmys
was it had a step and repeat.
And not a red carpet.
Yeah, why?
Or just the ugliest carpet. It's like the anti-carpet.
It was bad.
Who?
So I want to see. I hope the Oscars bring back the glam. I hope they bring back the.
You hope
prestige.
They win the Oscar for best Oscars.
Well, we have a bone to pick with the Oscars. Apparently, the entire internet has a bone to pick with the Oscars. There were a lot of good nominations, but there were a lot of snubs. Big snub year.
I think the biggest. So I mean, everyone's talking about how Barbie. There were a lot of snubs within Barbie because. I think the biggest snub is that Greta Gerwig didn't get nominated for Best Director.
But the movie was nominated for Best Movie.
But also there are more movies that get nominated than in the category of Best Movie than in Best Director. Either way, Barbie was such a powerhouse this year. Like that was the number one at the box office. It was number one critically. I'm sorry. I tried to watch Oppenheimer. It is such fucking boring male movie.
It's
Oscar
just,
bait.
It's the same as Lincoln.
It's the same as J. Edgar. It's all poor imitations of
The
Aviator.
There will be blood.
There will be blood. You know, it's just, it's all like,
I know.
All that, complex man does something fucked up and he feels bad about it. Oh my God, who has ever heard of such a plot line?
Complex man. No, I agree. And so, yeah, that people were pissed. But America Ferrera was nominated for Best Actress. So there is that. But the
was
big.
Was she Best Actress or
supporting
Best Supporting
Actress, excuse me. The big thing was people were pissed off because it wasn't just that. Margot Robbie was snubbed for Best Actress and Greta Gerwig was snubbed for Best Director, but Ken, aka Ron Gosling, was nominated for Best Actor. Here's the thing. He was good in this movie. He was good. Yeah. He made the movie pretty funny, I think. So did Crazy Barbie. What was her name?
McKinnon.
She made it really, really funny. Those two were my entire comedic relief for the film. I'm not that upset that Margot was not nominated, but
I feel the same
fact
way.
That Ryan and not Greta is the craziest fucking thing to me in my. But Robert Downey Jr., who basically was Iron Man in a suit, I saw Oppenheimer and I liked it. That said, I was very pregnant and so uncomfortable sitting there for 3 hours. Is the biggest mistake of my life.
Gotta wait
seeing
till
this
streaming.
Movie, I know. And it. Well, I wanted. They said the atomic bomb was so great to see in the theater, and I was like,
the atomic bomb was so
like,
great. To see
like,
in the theater.
I have a big TV.
Rusty
likes he set up surround sound in my house.
Right, set up.
So I would have enjoyed it better at my own home. That said, Robert Downey Jr. did not do anything for this movie. Everyone's like, he's just like, is the Hollywood man. He owns a lot of Hollywood relationships. And I feel like they probably felt like they needed to nominate him. I think it is. And everybody also said that he was so amazing when it came out. And I was like, I don't understand. Like, yeah, he was great because of the plot.
That's exactly how like I felt.
But his reveal wasn't like, it was so anticlimactic, I felt.
I think the entirety of Oppenheimer felt like plug and play Oscar movie. Like it could have been any, it's like 10 other movies that I felt.
It was really interesting. And it was really cool that the way that they told the story, it was, and the politics of it and the science of it, there was just a lot of men. And Emily Blunt got nominated, which was interesting. She was good. But was anybody much better than Greta? No. Right.
That's what it comes
to. It doesn't make any fucking sense.
That's exactly how I feel about it. Like, it's not that like the whole movie of Barbie got snubbed. It's that Greta Gerwig got snubbed. I agree that Margot Robbie, like, she did a great job in her role. I don't feel like, oh, that is a shoe-in crazy performance to be in the Best Actress category.
I agree.
But the directing and the writing of that movie was brilliant. Also, if you even look at, have you heard her, Greta, talk about, Greta, like we're friends. Have you heard her talk about like the way that they designed like the sets and how they like designed the dream house to have her like float and just the-
I'm sure there was so much thought that went into it. Even it like the direction of Margot was really great when she's, cause like laying on the ground doesn't move her legs.
Yeah.
Just the whole thing when they talk about like reality Barbie right now, who's like spends time like hours on her phone and like watches BBC. Like I felt so, that was me. Yeah. And listen, America Ferrera was good too.
I don't object to her nomination.
She's also like, you know, she's been around for a long time. It's like, it's sometimes it's a lot of that. It's like, you've been around for a long time. What's your next role that are you really going to win? Is this your time that you're going to win? I think it's a lot of that when they put thought into.
But what about this nomination. Is not Greta Gerwig's time?
Exactly. This is a milestone movie.
This was like the biggest thing other than the Eras Tour and like Donald Trump that was talked about this year. I would even say that Barbie was more talked about. Than some of those things, and
the reason why Oppenheimer was talked about so much was because of Barbie.
Yes, that's the other thing. I saw something when
I asked them to move the date.
Yeah,
and Margot was like, "No, you move the date." Yeah,
and here's the thing: no one. I really feel that Oppenheimer would have kind of faded to some degree if it had not been Barbenheimer.
I agree wholeheartedly. Not a hot take. I think it's the only take. And Greta deserves better.
Do you think that like, I kept trying to think about why.
One more thought about the America Ferrera. She was good again, but I didn't feel like her acting was any different or above and beyond anything she's ever kind of done.
Yeah.
What was important that she did was deliver a really good feminist speech, which was created by Greta Gerwig.
Right.
Which to me, like, that is mind-boggling. Like, yeah, she delivered it, but like, you know, like...
That was the thing that everyone kind of made a little fun of that speech though, like a little, but also
because
they were moved
by
it.
Because it was so basic. Here's the thing. She made like feminism, Greta, made feminism mainstream. And yet a lot of the topics were like, for us who are two women in media, whose not job, but like in deep interests are to like observe and to understand like feminism. Like, a lot of people don't, and a lot of people have misconceptions about feminism, and like there's a lot of bra burning still going on with like what people describe as feminism. For me, it's just like, yeah, like women deserve equality. So
very basic.
Very basic. And so it made it like easily digestible, and it made it mainstream. It made it funny. It made it like, whoa, this like Casa Dojo house, like when Ken goes to the real world and is like patriarch, like that to me is like, this is a great way to put it.
Yeah.
And nobody's put it that way in a way for young girls to see. Like, that to me is artistry, and she fucking should be nominated, and they should get a spot in there for her.
That's exactly what I thought about it. And now, and my question was actually like, so why wasn't she nominated? And what I actually think is what you just said.
Casa Dasa Dojo House is the Oscars.
The Oscar.
What is it called?
Casa Academy.
Yes.
I think that what actually it was is that that was like kind of really fundamentally threatening to the decision makers. And it's not just people vote, but there are more, you know, you see who's... So the people who are in the Academy, I think that there's something very threatening about that idea, because you basically turn this idea on its head of like, why? Why is it this way?
For years, I've been using men's razors because the quality of razors for women is seriously questionable. But disposable men's razors feel like settling. I finally tried the Athena Club razor I've been seeing online, and it was truly the easiest, smoothest shave ever. My old razors, honestly, they would rust up so quickly, and the shave I would get was so dull. My legs would get super dry. It would just be like an uncomfortable razor experience. But this razor is truly worth the hype. If you haven't tried it, you really need to give it a shot. Step up your shaving game now with Athena Club's award-winning razor kit. It's seriously the best on the market, and here's why. First of all, the Athena Club razor kit is an absolute steal at just $10. But don't let the price fool you. This razor packs a serious punch. It comes with a beautifully made ergonomic handle and two super sharp razor heads that deliver an incredibly smooth shave every time. You also get a game-changing magnetic hook in the razor kit for easy storage. This means no sitting your razor on the edge of your tub, no more goopy blades, no more razor falling down your shower floor in the middle of the night. Athena Club's razor glides effortlessly thanks to those 5 precision-engineered blades. The blades are perfectly spaced out to let your hair pass through with each stroke, and you'll experience less irritation, which is always a win in my book. Are you ready to upgrade your shaving experience? Switch to the best razor on the market and show your skin you care with Athena Club. Head over to athenaclub.com to try their award-winning razor and body products and get 20% off your purchase with code BETCHES at checkout. You can also find Athena Club razors at your local Target store. Trust me, you won't look back. Happy shaving. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you just need some more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I've been in therapy for years, and nothing has transformed my life quite as much as my therapy experience. And one of the things that I love about therapy is that it gives me all the tools I need to figure out how to manage my time, and also figuring out what depletes me, what gives me energy. Sometimes too much socializing depletes me, so I've learned how to manage the amount of time that I'm going out versus staying in, the amount of new people I'm meeting versus making sure I have that me time for myself, and that's definitely a skill that I've honed in therapy. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/betches today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/betches.
Do you know that girl on TikTok? Her name's Clara Bell Talks, and she does like really funny reverse comments about like, what if Europeans were not like the beauty standard? Mm-hmm. And like kind of talks about things in the way that people talk about minorities, but she does it for like white people. And it's just a very funny.
I've never seen that.
Oh, she's so funny and clever. And that's basically what Barbie did. Like, she kind of reverses it by just showing what the opposite way would be, mm-hmm, if they, like, women or whoever were in charge. Ugh. And I think that that was what was really so threatening.
What I really think what the Oscars try to do, this is what I really think happened. What the Oscars try to do is maintain prestige of art, movies, and film. So Barbie, rather than what I think is like threatening because of its feminist message, I think it was just threatening because, like, if we allow Barbie into like, winning, being nominated across the board, we're saying this mainstream kind of splashy box office movie is now a standard for nominations, whereas most of the movies are like interesting artsy movies, like Poor Things, Anatomy of a Fall, Oppenheimer, because it's so dark.
And Anatomy of a Fall was great.
Killers of the Flower Moon, like Fucking Maestro was nominated, and that was like a Netflix movie where it was.
I didn't hear great things.
I didn't hear great things. How can?
Here's the thing: Avatar's been nominated. Titanic was a huge commercial success.
That's because James Cameron.
He did both of those.
I know.
Because he's a man.
He's a man. He's a prestigious man.
Greta Gerwig's a prestigious lady. She's like, she's part of that like indie core. She is really good.
Yeah.
Although she doesn't, what's it called? What's that, the core called? That Mumblecore. Although she doesn't like that term, apparently.
Mumblecore?
Mumblecore. It's the movies you like After Midnight, After Sunset.
Oh, yeah, I do like those.
Like Mumblecore. So apparently she doesn't like that term because it sort of like implies that to be like thoughtful, you have to be this, like, you have to be in this like sort of genre. But to that point, I really believe our Oppenheimer, it's just because they
Past Lives was one of those, which I loved.
But it's just because I really do feel that it's like they lit Oppenheimer really dimly. Yeah. And therefore, yeah, it should be in the Oscars.
And because like it was Jay like three Edgar hours like long.
Yeah, like, this, yeah. But okay, I do want to say one thing about Ryan Gosling. I actually do think of all, like, of the acting nominations, I do think his was really deserved. And it's not just because, like, I think he really went out of the box for this role. I think he really challenged himself. Uh-huh. He was singing and dancing. And, like, let's be real, that is something that's awarded. Like, when Catherine Zeta-Jones in Chicago, she got awarded for the singing and dancing. Like, he really challenged himself in that role.
Dancing was not that, you know, great.
He was good. He was good in this role. He was very convincing. He embodied it. But my feeling on the feminism thing is that, and Liz Plank, Feminist Fabulous, she wrote about this in her book, which is that like this, the way that patriarchy is constructed actually hurts men too, because it sort of limits them from being like in that Ryan Gosling role, from being someone who can be like held up for a role like that. Mm-hmm. And that he as himself, the guy acting in it, can like embrace it and feel like this is cool and worthy. Mm-hmm. So I actually don't think it's so offensive that.
No.
I think it's great that he got nominated.
Yeah.
I think the real problem is the lack of Greta nomination.
On the nominations. Yes, I agree. Well, we'll see what happens. I wonder if there's going to be like any follow up. But it was
nice
that
Ryan. They usually don't follow up. They usually are just like, here at the winner.
We're waiting for the Academy to follow up.
They're not going to.
Well, Ryan spoke out after saying, he said there's no Ken without Barbie and there's no, you know, everybody's supporting them.
He's a good feminist.
Billie Eilish's song was nominated, which I really did like that song. But one woman did receive a Best Director nom, who's Justine Triet, who's the director of Anatomy of a Fall, which we both saw and loved.
I hope this wins Best Picture. I really loved this movie more than I've loved a lot of movies lately.
Interesting.
I thought it was so interesting and just had like, it's like one, it's like a black hole of interest to me that you never.
It's just so interesting.
It's like I can never guess the end of it. Bottomless interest. Okay, Aileen, just for the benefits of the listeners, and let's do a spoiler free and then maybe we'll do a little spoiler minute. But what's the premise?
The premise of Anatomy of a Fall, it's this family, they live in France in like sort of the bumblefuck region. Region of like the cold part of France. And the main character is this German woman who's married to her French husband. And they have a son who's like 11 years old and he lost majority of his sight, almost all of it. But he wasn't born like that. There was an accident. And so there is a fall in this movie. Somebody dies. And it's basically a courtroom drama. And it's in English because, again, this is a German woman. She speaks English. And there's a lot of French, but it's because it takes place in France. But that's part of why this movie's so...
Makes it chic.
As we say, intéressant. Yeah. Because it's all about, like, what people hear and see and translate and how that intertwines with a murder mystery and a murder trial. And it's really very, it's just like a very unique movie. Also not dimly lit, but very artfully lit.
Right.
It's bright because of the snow.
The snow. But here's the thing, like you don't, and also the courtroom has lights. You just don't, look, I am sick of unjustifiably dark films.
Yeah.
It's one thing if you're in a cave but we're not.
Like Batman, Christopher Nolan.
Yeah, that could be dark, but or also in like a dimly lit restaurant, you know. That's okay, but it's just,
I get it.
I don't like it.
But so yeah, great movie. I highly recommend people see it. It was so funny because I wanted to see it and my father-in-law saw it and he was like, yeah, it was good. It was a lot of talking. I'm like, oh,
well, great.
The movie is talking. Those are the kind of movie I do like where there is a lot of
Oppenheimer was a lot of talking.
Really? Well, I liked Oppenheimer. It was just, I was just very physically uncomfortable.
Right.
And I did like the movie. It was a little long, but I loved like the whole Albert Einstein of it. I am Al Sweetstein 89 after all. Yeah. And I liked Oppenheimer. I'm not saying Oppenheimer was bad. It's just Greta Gerwig was snubbed.
Right. But, I agree.
And it was just very dim. It was just formulaic in its lighting and its length.
and its subject matter and premise. I will give it another try. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, that's such man bait. That's such man bait. World War II is so Oscar man bait.
World War II is their Roman Empire forever.
Yes, totally. Yeah. Ugh.
But it's, yeah, no, I'm so Anatomy of a Fall. I have to admit, I did not understand that it was going to be about a fall, as in like a fall from a height.
You thought it was the fall season?
I didn't understand really what it was at all until someone.
You didn't see the picture? It was like a person in the snow.
I didn't even see the picture until I heard of it before I saw the picture. So whatever, it is my favorite movie of the year so far. And I'm actually keeping a list and trying to watch most of them this year.
She's checking it twice.
I'm checking it twice, yeah. I'm watching some of them twice.
Ay vey. Natalie Portman, Julianne Moore, Kristen Melton did not receive acting nominations. That doesn't bother me, although Charles Melton was very good.
He should have, he was great.
He should have.
I loved that movie too.
Saltburn was not nominated, don't care about that.
Didn't deserve it.
I didn't see Iron Claw because it just came out.
I don't care about that. I don't know what that is.
It's Zac Efron. It's a lot of bros doing boxing.
Oh, it's not about like a superhero? It's a wrestling movie.
Excuse me. Let's take that back. It's a different type of martial arts. It is a wrestling movie.
Physical male arts.
Martial arts that are fake.
So it's like The Wrestler.
Great movie.
I think I liked that. That was with Mickey Rourke, right?
Correct.
Saw it in college.
Also very good Bruce Springsteen song in that movie.
Yeah. But why do I... That's such an interesting...
I probably took you to see that movie.
I think you did.
I remember seeing it in
Ithaca.
Did I take you and Jordana to see this Daniel Aronofsky movie that was just
Mother?
So bad? No, it was like back in... Maybe it was Jordana and Alexa. I took them to see this terrible Darren Aronofsky movie. It was so sci-fi and terrible. Was it called like, yeah.
I don't think it was me.
Fountain with Wasn't Hugh me. Jackman?
It was not me.
Yes. Oh my God, you would have hated it.
I'm glad so you didn't take me. But better yeah, or worse than Water for Elephants.
Well, worse because it was just
God, that must have been terrible.
So artsy. Anyway, that's that on the Oscars.
We'll talk about it more when it happens.
Listen, we all know that scratchy PJs can make a cranky kid. I want my kids to be comfy when they sleep and are rested in the morning, and that's why I snuggle them up in Little Sleepies. Little Sleepies makes award-winning bamboo PJs that moms rave about. I am said mom. I am obsessed with Little Sleepies. They are so, so, so soft. I just got one that was the Checkmates Zippy for my son Lucas. It's so adorable. And it's limited edition, so everybody go check it out. Little Sleepies Zip Romper Pajamas, aka Zippies, the ones that I got, were designed with thoughtful details like fold-over feet, mittens, and a double zipper to make the middle of the night diaper changes easier. Made from the buttery soft, custom-milled Luna Luxe Bamboo Viscose, their Zip Footy Pajamas are gentle on sensitive skin and babies with eczema. But what parents rave about the most? How long they fit. And Little Sleepies makes the best baby shower gift. They have inclusive sizing from preemie to adults 3X. There are also nursing and pregnancy-friendly styles available for adults. So try a pair of Little Sleepies today. Fair warning, you'll never go back. You can try Little Sleepies for yourself by visiting littlesleepies.com. Plus, get 15% off your order on littlesleepies.com with code BETCHES. That's littlesleepies.com with promo code BETCHES.
Should we talk about Selena?
Selena, yes, we shall. Speaking of Selena, different Selena, not Gomez.
Did
you see the moment also from the awards where Brie Larson and J-Lo happened to come across each other I think maybe it was probably the Emmys or the Golden Globes. I loved this moment in pop culture. There's just been a lot of really good moments in pop culture where women are supporting women, Bethany. And I'm like recently Rihanna and Natalie Portman. Did you see that?
Yeah.
That where they are both obsessed with each other. And then like Rihanna tells Natalie, like, you were the hottest bitch in Hollywood. And Natalie's like, are you kidding me?
Like,
and
you're then, the hottest bitch in Hollywood.
Natalie posted it on her own social media, which is funny because she mostly just posts things like about her book club, about the Me Too movement. And then here, like Rihanna loving her.
Key endorsement.
Key endorsement. I loved that. But another moment that happened in award season this year so far was, okay, Brie Larson is getting interviewed, whether it's E! News, whoever the fuck. She sees J-Lo and J-Lo's coming up and Brie Larson starts to panic. And the guy or woman who's interviewing, I forget who, she's like, are you okay? Like, she's like, you don't understand. I love J-Lo. And it's like very surprising because
they don't like, usually fangirl over each other.
You don't have that kind of fangirling thing. And J-Lo walks up and J-Lo looks stunning in her like pink thing and Brie also. And J-Lo doesn't know what to expect because Brie is like, you don't get it. I love you. And J-Lo's like, oh, thank you. But then you think like, oh, she just likes her. J-Lo's confused. And then Brie stops her and goes, your performance in Selena is the reason why I became an actress. And J-Lo was like, huh? What? Like you could see it moved her so much that she wanted to cry. And then she was like, and Brie didn't know what to do with herself because she was fully like losing her fangirling. She's like, I love you. She's like, that is so nice. And they're all just like having this moment. And I'm like, I love this.
I love that.
And so I just want to see more of those.
I agree. I totally agree with you. Women that is what I love.
Women.
Those are my favorite stories. From like we could just do the, you know how we don't care about a lot of the stories you talk about on here. We're gonna introduce that as a new segment soon.
Things we don't give a fuck about.
But these are the things that I care about.
Yes,
like not the things that are like publicist planted or planned, but the things that sort of just spontaneously happen and it gives you an insight into like what is it really like. That's what, like why I like the comments by celebs account.
Yes, although sometimes those comments are planted by PR,
but they weren't originally. That's totally. Why it started.
Agreed. So I love that moment. If we see more of those moments, I'll be pleasantly surprised. I'll feel pleasant.
Please publicize that. Maybe we should just report on those moments. It's like the positive paparazzi.
Okay. That's how much
follow
I know.
Follow me until you love me. Paparazzi.
Mama Rossi.
You go, mama. I hate that. Yeah, that's the problem.
Betcherazzi.
Paparazzi. It's like the bringing positivity.
Paparazzi.
What
sounds like
pause.
Okay, only, let's keep going.
Only
let's,
to you.
So let's.
This is a paparazzi. This is a great paparazzi story.
Paparazzi moment. Yeah, has nothing to do with paparazzis though.
It's Selena, she paparazzied herself.
She paparazzied herself. Selena Gomez. Okay, can you share what happened?
Okay, basically she posted. So she came back from her Instagram break
like a day later.
Yeah, for like 17th of a million, and she posted a bunch of Instagram stories. One of which was a throwback, and I feel like I kind of remember this picture maybe where she was wearing like a very small bikini and she captioned it, today I realized I will never look like this again. And then the next photo was a more recent image of her like in a yacht, kind of like in a yacht on a yacht, or it was like hanging off a yacht
on a boat
ladder.
Yeah,
I'm guessing it was
on
a
an
yacht.
Expensive boat. I see the corner of a like
a Beckham
pelts
in the background.
No, I see like yeah a yacht thing. But what are these things called? One of those stones in the background, as if she's in the Amalfi Coast.
Oh,
a Mediterranean
Faraglioni
cliff thing.
Faraglioni.
Yeah, Faraglioni. So she's definitely on a yacht.
Faraglioni. Those rocks.
Those big rocks.
Right. You don't just go on a dinghy for that.
Yeah. If you're
Selena
not
Gomez.
On a cruise ship.
Yeah, not her.
She's not on the Disney cruise.
So the one where she's looking like more full, and she's also in a bikini, but like definitely more, you know, full. She wrote, I'm not perfect, but I'm proud to be who I am. Sometimes I forget it's okay to be me. And if we haven't all been there on this situation.
Seriously.
And you want to know why it really stuck for me? Because you guys basically like kind of convincing me to go on Facebook led me to go on Facebook.
You guys meeting me.
You and Jordana. And
Facebook's back, guys.
Like,
no, I'm just kidding.
Here's the thing. I want to talk about this, but she's not here. Jordana's not here.
Wait till Jordana's here to talk about her favorite social media just platform. Talk,
right, right. Because here's the thing. Like, yeah, it's fun if you want to like go on a deep dive into a person and what they've been doing.
Okay, you said you were going to wait to talk about it, and then you go and talk about it.
Nothing comes up.
Can you just talk about Selena?
So, yes. So I'm saying how like I was doing this with, I looked at my own photos. And I was like, oh, I can't believe like I looked, I'm probably never going to look, I've never looked that young again because this was 13 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just thought that was such like a great, relatable thing that you know she genuinely thinks about, mm-hmm. is probably on her mind. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just something that like, it's a good modeling of acceptance in the public.
It's very relatable. We're like very similar. She's in her early 30s, right? She's like 31? Yeah, she's 31. She's looking back and she's thinking all the time. Like you said, she's always thinking about your because as women, we're often we're always trying to get it back. You know, I just had a kid.
Don't age.
You just had a kid. It's like, how do I get back my pre-baby body? All of that verbiage is always there. It's like, how do I get back to
we were also trying to do that when we were like 25. To get back to where we were when we were 18.
That's what I mean. It's like you're always comparing yourself to your former self. And that's why it's so relatable because it's just like this, it's just this most basic girl thing, woman thing, female thing that we've all just done since day one, you know, and it's fucked up, really, if we think about it, because it's hard to just accept ourselves the way we are. It's always like,
as America Ferrera would say.
Exactly. We'll go to Gerwig.
Yeah, via America.
And we're always just trying to get something back, and we can't say, like, I'm really good with what I have now. And it was funny. The other day, we always get our memories. And I got high school memories of like, maybe it was senior dance or senior party. And my hair is so curly. Or no, I was out somewhere. And I had a picture with Jordana or whatever. And I was wearing this like cool top. And it looked very tan, obviously, because I was snooking up my whole face. And my hair is so curly. And I showed Jordana, like, I look so hot here, like just like a baby. She goes, I think you look better now. And I'm like, that is so nice. Women supporting women. But I'm like, that like feels good because it's like my automatic feeling was to say, oh, I look better here. But do I? Or am I programmed to think that way? And like this kind of thing that Selena is saying and putting out there is sort of just allowing us to say, actually, I like my boobs bigger. Actually, I like that I don't look like this teenage stick. Yeah. It's okay to love your curves. They happen as we age because it's harder. It just happens. It's just the part of evolution and biology of a woman's body.
She also has like health conditions
totally. But even though
she is who she is my point.
She is who she is. I really like that. She was on a fucking yacht. And the picture before, she was walking on the beach.
Getting sand, hard to walk. Yes,
sand in her toes.
So who hates sand in their toes?
Probably posing for the paparazzi in this picture.
With Justin Bieber fucking with her from 6 feet away.
Fuck that. And in this picture, she's posting her own photo on a yacht.
Look back at it. Looking back at it.
She owns her photo. She put it up.
She looks hot.
She looks great. And I think I love that. She goes, bitch, I am perfect the way I am. Moral of the story, bye.
Did she say bitch?
She says, bitch, I am perfect the way I am.
Oh, I didn't see that one.
And moral of the story, bye. Which like I really
that.
Like that.
We should put that on a shirt.
Moral of the story, bye.
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 Around the office, we have so many colorful framed art prints and photos. It creates such a fun atmosphere, and it gives our space that unique Betches character. I wanted to frame some stuff at home too, but custom framing can be so difficult and so expensive. So the things I want to display end up collecting dust in a closet. But Framebridge makes it easy and affordable to get your special artwork and memories in frames so you can spice up your space with ease. I love Framebridge. I framed my ketubah for my wedding. The process was unbelievably easy. They send you a canister to send in your artwork. They send you a few different options of ways that they can frame it. You get to pick. They're actually helping me also design the frame that works best with the picture and best for my home. And getting custom frames can be difficult. Framebridge is easy and affordable to custom frame just about anything. You can easily order online at framebridge.com or visit a retail store if you need some guidance. You can also upload a digital photo for them to print or mail your item in using their free, secure, prepaid packaging. Then Framebridge custom frames your piece in the studio using the highest quality materials and ships it to your door in days for free. See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything. That's framebridge.com. Ready to redefine your relationship with alcohol? Whether you're trying to cut back or just want to explore a non-alcoholic alternative, Athletic Brewing is a game changer. They offer a variety of different full-flavored brews with no alcohol, allowing you to sip and celebrate anytime and anywhere. Do you like hazy IPAs, sweet, fruity sours? Athletic Brewing has an assortment of non-alcoholic beers in almost any style you can think of. One thing I really like is a great Sunday brunch. And sometimes, you know, you kind of want to have a drink during it. But also it's Sunday and you kind of want to get your life together. That's the perfect occasion to have an Athletic Brew non-alcoholic beer. Athletic brews a variety of great-tasting, award-winning non-alcoholic beers, including IPAs, Goldens, extra dark brews, sours, hazies, and more, many of which are only available online and for a limited time. They offer hassle-free delivery right to your door when you order at athleticbrewing.com. Athletic Brews Bevs you can drink anytime, anywhere, and still go right back to whatever you were doing. It's a great fit for parenting, playing sports, watching sports, doing chores, late nights, and early mornings, so you can imbibe without worry. And when you support Athletic, you support a company that cares. They're a certified B Corp and donate up to $2 million annually to protect and restore outdoor spaces around the globe through the Two for the Trails program. Try Athletic Brewing non-alcoholic beers for yourself. Use code BETCHES to get 15% off your first order at athleticbrewing.com. That's BETCHES. At checkout for 15% off your first order. Near beer. Exclusions and conditions apply. Athletic Brewing Company. Fit for all times.
Should we introduce our new segment? Some things people are talking about that we really don't care about, but we'll mention anyway.
Yeah, I love that. I love that for us.
At the top of that, we have the Jason Kelsey without a shirt at the game. Taylor met him and Kylie Kelsey was there, and it seems like they were having a good time. Kylie was worried that Jason would act like a clown. It seems he did act like a clown, but it went over great. So
yeah, he did. He also picked up this like young girl who was like holding up a sign for Taylor, picked her up to show the child to Taylor.
Yeah,
like
the sign.
Like Lion King status. And it was a cute interaction.
He probably made
the kid's life forever. Yeah, it was fun. And I kind of like the fun vibes.
Listen, this made...
he also recently retired, announced his retirement like last week.
Right, so he can fuck off now.
Yeah, he can literally do whatever the fuck he wants.
I will say that definitely will make this kid's life, because my father-in-law was once like photographed on and ended up in the newspaper at like a World Series game. Uh-huh. And it's still fucking on their fridge. So this is going to end up everywhere.
It's going to end up everywhere. She's going to remember forever. And
Exciting. I like Jason Kelsey. I really feel that he is...
You like Jason or Travis?
Jason. Jason Kelsey is where it's at. He is the secret sauce of the fan.
Okay.
And I think Kylie Kelsey, she reminds me of Kristen from Our Office a lot.
Yeah, she's just like a cool gal.
Just a gal.
Loves her sports.
Yes, just a gal.
Yeah.
Which is a compliment.
Huge compliment.
Who don't know Kristen.
Huge compliment. Sammy, you said that... Well, the segment is about things that we don't care about, but there is something that you said that you do care about.
Well, I don't think we care about it. Just tell me if you do. I like a little bit. I'm curious.
Okay.
Jacob Elordi and Olivia Jade are still together.
Not even an update.
but here's the thing. There was some speculation because she unfollowed him on Instagram.
Oh, probably got into a fight.
Yeah, that's what I think. And but I'm curious. So, but then she showed, there was speculation. There was articles going around. I know there was one on our Slack that people were sending. And then apparently she showed up to support him while he was hosting on Saturday Night Live. So they're still together. Saturday Night Live is the ultimate place where people show up to show that they're dating.
Uh-huh. The thing about this, I really don't care about. But things that I find interesting is Olivia Jade is like sort of back in the mix.
Yes.
And also Jacob Elordi is so tall. Like, I am amazed by super tall people. Like the entire cast of Succession minus Roman and Jeremy Strong. Mm-hmm. Lucas Mattson, so tall. Nicholas Braun, so tall. And McFadden, so tall. Like above six.
Yeah.
All
really?
Above six.
Oh.
Yeah. But Jacob Elordi, I think, is like 6'5" or something.
Yeah, no, he's really tall.
So tall.
That's the only thing about this that I care about. Okay, one thing I thought was interesting, this is very random, but Olivia Jade was at this like birthday party for someone in Mexico where Girl Without a Job and Tinks were. I'm like, okay, but I noted
I looked her up.
I don't know who it was.
Just this like woman.
Okay, whatever. This woman and Olivia Jade was there and I noticed, but so the reason this stuck out to me was that she was there and he was not. I don't know if that like,
or we don't know if he was
par for the,
I guess, no,
I think you know if he was there.
Yeah.
It's kind of par for the course. Maybe that's normal for them. I don't know.
Who knows? Maybe they're like coming back together was a PR thing. I don't know.
Or just their breaking up was a fight before the breakup.
Yeah, maybe they're they are broken up, but they're like want to control the narrative kind of thing.
Maybe they're not sure. They don't want to have to like be in the breakup while it's being reported on.
Ugh, whatevs.
Some more things. Do you care about these? Kim Kardashian is back as one of Balenciaga's brand ambassadors.
Do I care? No, but I don't care. People are mad because it's not just her. It's Peltz too was one of the brand ambassadors. They did this campaign that was like in their closets and they're like wearing like a closet full of Balenciaga stuff. And it's just...
Meaning like they're coming out as Balenciaga fans again now that they were...
Okay, after the Balenciaga child thing.
DSM teddy bear thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, all right. Well, I think they picked the right people, Kim Kardashian and Nicola Peltz, who, you know, I don't know, image-wise, that's exactly who they should have picked.
Why are we doing it?
Well, they have to make a comeback. They're a company.
But why would Kim?
Because she doesn't care about anything.
Yeah, she doesn't care about anything. That's true. She cares about herself. She cares about her reputation. And she's friends with them, right? Everything is really like relationships. And she thinks that she can bring them out of it. And they're probably paying her so much money. I know she doesn't care about that, but we know she's ambitious from that perspective.
She released a statement.
Oh, what was the statement,
Sammy? She said, for several years now, Balenciaga's designs have been a part of my many looks and some of my most iconic fashion
moments. She does so say to herself.
Yeah. This historic fashion house embraces modernity, craftsmanship, and takes an innovative approach to design under Demna. For me, this longstanding relationship is built on mutual trust and commitment to doing what's right. I'm excited about this next chapter for the brand and to become their ambassador.
I already thought she was their ambassador, honestly.
When did it stop?
Yeah, like
did she like denounce them or something? And then, or not denounce, but she just like stepped away.
I don't know. She and Dorinda are on pause. She like did her whole season of the Kardashians was like about Demna, like, and the Balenciaga.
Maybe that's why she had to go back and do it.
It went on to Dolce and Gabbana and the whole fight with... It was
Dolce,
silly.
Living that Dolce Vita lifestyle.
Speaking of the Kardashians, another thing that do we care about? I don't really think so. Tristan Thompson has been suspended for 25 NBA games. That's a lot of NBA games. After violating an NBA anti-drug program. So apparently he's suspended without pay because he tested positive for these two drugs. One looks like ibuprofen, but that's not it. And another one is just like a lot of letters. And they're all performance enhancers. And they're banned by the World Anti-Doping Agency.
Very powerful.
It's funny that the word is called doping. Yeah, it just feels like so boomer to be like, oh, you're on the doping. Dope kid.
Yeah, right. Like, change the name, guys.
Yeah, like, change it.
Yeah, no, I don't care about this, but I do think it's important to have on the record for future times he fucks Chloe over.
I'm into that. Yeah.
Just so we have it in our memories.
It makes me wonder, like, are a lot of these sports players, athletes?
Sports players. Sportsmen?
These athletes, professional athletes on enhancements.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
and they're just not getting caught?
Oh, yeah. That's what the whole, like, when Lance Armstrong had his whole thing, I read this book by one of his teammates about how, like, institutionalized their doping cheating was.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of players, athletes across a lot of sports.
Sportsmen.
Sportsmen. I think a lot of sportsmen fuck with drugs that enhance their abilities. And it's kind of like, uh-huh. Is this on the right side of things? Is that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The World Anti-Doping Agency lets people get away with things except when they don't.
Yeah, I know. All right. I think that's all the things that we don't care about. And I would like to bring us back to things, random shit that we care about.
Okay.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card?
With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Have you been like watching anything good?
Yes, I've been watching Fargo, this season of Fargo.
Everyone says it's great.
I'm obsessed with the movie Fargo. I've always been obsessed with that movie, don't you know? And what's it look like today, Marge? Oh, just another triple homicide. I just love that movie. And this show, it's in fifth season. Every season is a different cast of characters, different story. But what's interesting is that they're all based on true stories. And it's really mind-blowing that these stories are real because, like, what the fuck is going on in, like, Minnesota and North Dakota? Like, what's happening over there? Because it's fucking crazy.
I know. A lot of stuff is happening over there.
Yeah.
The Ozarks are fucking crazy.
Sorry, Aileen. Sorry to interrupt you guys.
Uh-oh.
I watched Fargo also.
Check. Yeah.
Every season, or I think every episode, starts with, this is based on a true story. It's never really a true story.
Shut the fuck up. What do you mean?
This is their bit. Because the movie says this is based on true story. It's not.
It's not. Okay.
Every season is totally made up, but they present it
like
for
it's
some
real.
Reason, it's like supposed to be more fun if you think it's based on true story.
It's sort of like that show Jurors, but the opposite. Not
jury
the
duty?
Jury Duty.
Jury Duty. Yeah, it's
because
the opposite.
I went into that show thinking it was fake. And then I found out like towards the end that it was real.
So you thought that the whole thing, is John Hamm in this new season?
Yeah. John Hamm, the girl from Ted Lasso.
How could it have been based on a true story? What's good about it? And why did you like it more because you thought these were all real?
Yeah, I thought it was. Every time I'm watching, I'm like, oh, wow, I can't believe this happened.
I feel like we might be blowing a lot of people's minds right now.
If it's,
because I don't think you would like.
It's not like they go, ha ha, JK.
Right. It's disinformation.
Yeah. So anyway, don't you know?
I didn't know.
Apparently, thanks, Sean, for that correction.
Sorry. Yeah.
Here's the thing.
I burst the bubble.
I still like it.
I think it's, I don't know if it's good or bad that he burst the bubble.
I honestly don't care. I'll still watch it regardless.
I'm like curious.
They have great actors. My two favorite seasons, if anybody hasn't watched it and want to watch it, my number one favorite season is the one with Kristen Dunst. And her husband, Jesse Plemons.
Yeah. Oh, they're interesting.
Must watch that season. I like it the most. There's a Ewan McGregor season. There's a bunch of other ones.
Really?
Must watch that season. And then this one is actually very good, too. It's with John Hamm as the main character.
Everyone's really loving this season. I've heard so many good things about it.
Yeah, Jennifer Jason Leigh, Risha Morjani, the one she's that actress from Never Have I Ever, whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah. Right?
She's like the cousin. No.
Never Have I Ever.
She's the cousin. She's great in it. There's just great people in this. And apparently it's not true, but I don't care. It's very good and I really love it.
I can give it a try. I hear really good things.
It's like fucked up.
I hear, it's supposed to be.
It's really fucked up. But it's like a dark, dark, dark comedy. And that's what's the appeal of the movie. And
is it physically dark?
Is it physically dark? It's not dark, but it's definitely like gray because of where it's set. It's in.
Oh,
like it's
I have
cold.
A hard time with gray.
Also watching True Detective.
Yeah, I didn't watch this. I didn't watch this week's, but I watched the first one and I'm going to stay on it.
Yeah,
I like it.
I just watched the second episode yesterday and also another very darkly lit show because it's
but
set
makes sense. That
in
makes
Alaska
sense.
Where there's no sunlight at this time.
That all tracks.
Yes,
and
it's also very, very it is fucked up, really fucked up, but it also has comedic elements because Jodie Foster's so funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like her so much.
Prestige television is not going anywhere, if we can help it.
Prestige, I love prestige television and I love Real Housewives of Salt Lake City Reunion Episode 3. Like, I love both of those things and I love that for us.
High low. We contain multitudes. Are you watching anything else? Anything good?
Something that like just really sparked joy in my life this week was two things. Actually, three random fucking pop culture things. One, Julia Fox interviewed on a red carpet and she brings up the fact that she lives with a ghost in her house. The ghost's name is Beauty. And her child often talks to that ghost. And she said, don't worry, it's a friendly ghost. And I saw this clip and I was like, what is this from? Like, when it, and it was like recent clip.
It's like the other day.
Yeah, it's the other day.
You know, I don't, you know, I'll be okay with that because last night on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, Erica Jayne revealed that she can smell spirits.
Oh.
So, you know, I,
maybe. Look, what do they smell like?
She didn't, I think they maybe all smell different. I don't know. I don't know, but they were in a, this like villa in Spain and she was like,
oh, was haunted. A villa
in Spain. And yeah, so I mean, I am all for the ghost named Beauty.
So fucking funny. Like I have a ghost, like just the way in which she speaks is just, it that is iconic to me. Like,
yeah.
Like Kim Kardashian and Balenciaga, not iconic.
You're trying to be iconic. You're yes. not.
Yes. Julia Fox talking about her ghost, that she, her friendly ghost, Casper, aka Beauty, who her child speaks to at home and in an interview, like on a red public carpet. On a red carpet. Like to me, that is just
How'd
camp.
How'd it come up?
That is camp.
How'd it come up?
I don't know. I just saw the clip. That was great. Another thing.
Do you have
thing,
any ghosts in your life you want to tell us about?
I have not. I really am afraid of ghosts, so I really don't want to be talking about
so
them.
So was Dorit. But
yeah. Okay. Another amazing thing that came up. Not Skinny But Fat's Instagram. She resurfaced a clip of Anne Hathaway, which ignited this like old feeling I have about Anne Hathaway.
You don't like her?
That I just, she's just, oh. Like her fashion is great right now, sure, but like this clip says everything about Anne Hathaway. It took me back in time. It was like a time machine back to 2011 Oscars of her hosting with James Franco, and you're just like, shut the fuck.
Do you feel bad that we were really, really big haters? I feel bad that I was
not
a hater.
Just I feel bad, sure, that I was a hater, but here's why I could understand my point of view because
not that you're wrong, but the hatering
this,
of it.
She just listen. She the clip is, you guys have to watch it. She's going into her van. She's coming from something. She's in Italy. And
where
there's
in Italy?
A big mob. Don't know. There's a big mob of photographers. They're all freaking out over her. Not photographers, people, actually, people with their phones. They're all freaking out. It's not all paparazzi. Not paparazzi. Paparazzi. And she stops with her like Anne Hathaway mannerisms and goes, calma, calma. Like,
stop it.
Calma,
no.
Calma. I will be here for you. Like, basically, like, just the most condescending.
What year was this from?
I don't know, but I watched it 50 times.
Can you send it to me?
Yes, I'll send it to you. But she's just, it's so condescending. And I was reading the comments, because as I do. And
just go in the car.
And they're both like, oh, good for Anne, like setting her boundaries.
She can just go in the car.
She can just go in the car. But the way she's just like to these people who she like, it just very much makes me feel like she thinks these people are like peasants.
Like she is Rebecca from WeWork movie.
Yes, literally. Yeah. She's like, calma, calma. She puts her hand up too. She puts her hand up. And I watch this video.
You gotta show it to me. You gotta show it to me.
Because it just reignited that, like, yeah, this is
you can wear a cute little Prada dress.
You can look so fucking cool at Cannes Lion, but you're still doing this shit. And maybe she isn't because this is an old clip.
How do we know? We'll look at the date.
But like, okay, like she's also did this interview with Emily Blunt when they were celebrating the anniversary of like Devil Wears Prada. And she just like, you know, when you made that face, it was just.
What
just,
face?
Like, the way that she speaks is so theater, which is fine. But like, it
do
just
you realize
comes
she's
off
best
so
friends
fucking,
with your friend Jeremy Strong?
I know, and it makes sense to me. I'm not best friends with Jeremy Strong.
I'm just pretending you
love,
are.
Like.
Him, his ethos.
Well, here's the thing. Maybe I have a bias.
Maybe you feel jealous.
Maybe I have a bias.
But you didn't know.
I think his method acting, but I don't see him as condescending.
You don't? Everyone else seems to.
I can't see him going. I can't see him going to a crowd of people and just being a calm, comma, comma.
No, but he can do a lot of other things. He can do other things.
I think he's pretentious.
It's all pretend. This is all the same shit. This is all the same type of like vibe. Her doing that is pretentious. Calma.
Okay, but Jessica Chastain is also best friends with Jeremy Strong.
I know, which makes me wonder because she's like a housewives person.
And she, well, that makes me not wonder about Jeremy Strong because she's all like.
They're closer, maybe.
I think they're way closer.
Based on what? Just our guesses?
Jessica
our
and hopes? Jeremy, because of the videos they posted together just being silly in a hotel room.
That was my favorite video I've seen so in like good. Years.
And the yeah. only thing that I've seen of Jeremy and Anne was just like them talking about the beach once when they ran into each other. And again, this
they
is
They tweeted
Anne.
At each other.
And
something.
It's just like they're, yeah, it was like another, it was very PR interview. So maybe they're not BFF. But anyway, it's the.
Let's ask them. Let's have them over. Let's call them for comment.
I'm not an Anne hater, but this video just ignited something in me that just reminded Hatred. Me of the 20. No, I don't have hate.
I'm kidding. I'm
I don't have hate.
I know.
I have this feeling of
irritation.
Yeah. Yeah. And
anything else?
I had one more thing.
Yeah. Wait. Yeah.
Wait, how about you go? And then, well, I was going to monopolize the chat.
Because we were talking about clips. Did you like the clip of Timothée at different? Like challenge shows in his
yes,
childhood.
Yes. Yes. What was
like
that?
Like rapping.
He's
I don't
rapping.
Know. It seems like it's basically like, you know,
he's
theater
also a
kid.
Theater kid.
He's another theater kid, genuinely. He was like in all these performances yeah. and it seems like his parents or something saved all the clips and stitched them together. Cause he's, I mean, I wish we could like send this to all the people who are listening.
We
like,
should.
Oh, you should receive yeah, like yeah. the clip as you hear it.
Yes,
you know?
Agreed. Everybody needs to find it and watch it. Maybe we need to post it somewhere.
Maybe we should have like a carousel of all the things we talked about today.
Definitely.
On Betches.
I love that,
Betches.
You content creator, you.
Look at that. We're gonna that. Do. We're gonna. That's how we're gonna promote the episode
love
with a bunch of
us.
Clips.
I love that for us. Can
what,
I?
Yeah. What did you? What did you watch?
I didn't watch it. I more so watched it in my head.
Well, this is good for the clip carousel.
I watched it in my head. I was driving home from the train for my commute from work, and an image popped in my mind, okay. and it was of Jared Leto scaling the Empire State Building. Do you remember when that happened?
Yeah.
Why? But did no one ask, like, why?
I think we did. I don't remember why, though.
I just...
Do you know why, Sean?
Why? Yeah. Okay. Jared Leto. He's an actor. He is a band member of 30 Seconds to Mars.
I always forget that part. He's an edgelord.
He's a what?
An edgelord.
What's an edgelord?
Like, someone who's always, like, trying to, like, make... Like edgy comments. And
oh,
like
oh! I thought you meant he's a ledge lord. Like
no,
that's
no,
somebody
no.
who likes
oh,
to scale
likes
buildings.
Oh, he is an edge lord.
He's an edge in a ledge. He's on the edge.
Oh, he's literally
the Empire State
an edge lord.
And I was just thinking about
maybe
this.
That's what he wanted people
and
to get.
I was like, what the fuck is this man doing? Why would he? He's why did he scale the Empire State Building?
I don't remember.
Why
Sean, do you remember?
To me, this is also like another amazing moment in pop culture where it's just so fucking random.
Yeah.
And it just serves as comedy. This, Julia Fox, Timothée Chalamet right. doing rap in middle school.
You just need weird people
I
who are willing
weird
to be
people
themselves.
Doing weird things and it's not press.
Calma.
And
it's
calma.
This was press.
What?
Fuck.
The climb to the top of the iconic building.
What was he promoting? His song?
Promoted the
band.
His band.
He was trying to climb to Mars.
Their 2024 world tour.
I didn't even
what
know that.
What does that have to do with the world
30
tour?
Seconds to the top of the building?
Did he actually scale it?
What if
yes.
He did. I mean, that it was sanctioned. It was the first time anyone's been allowed to do it legally.
Oh, allowed.
Yeah.
But did he do it?
I mean, yeah. I'm seeing pictures of him scaling it. I'm pretty
me,
sure he
okay,
made it
you know
up.
What it reminds me of in America's Sweethearts when Eddie goes up on the roof and he's like, don't worry, Eddie, I'll get you.
It also reminds me of the movie Pop Star when Tim Meadows' character says to Andy Samberg's character, 30 Seconds to Mars is a band, not a fact.
Yeah. That was the best line in that movie.
I've never forgot that because it was so,
so
fucking
funny.
And it just like now, anytime I think of 30 Seconds to Mars and Jared Leto, I just think of a joke.
So
like
funny.
That's to me why it was really funny. Anyway, I just thought of it and I was driving and I just started hysterically laughing at the wheel. And it was just like another moment that
just watching
I just
in your head.
Loved for us as people of the pop culture.
We love that. Should we do like a batch of the week?
Yeah, who's your batch of the week?
I think it has to be Greta Gerwig because she can't get an Oscar nomination. She can at least
get
batch this.
Of the week.
She can at least get batch of the week.
Take it or leave it, Greta.
You know what?
I love
you're
that.
You're always our Oscar winner.
I agree.
Here. The best, honestly, one of the, that is the one.
I love that movie.
When I think of this year, last year, I will think of
us seeing
Barbie,
it. and us seeing it and having a great time seeing it for
and
the most part.
What, and the boost it gave to the economy?
Yes.
In this economy?
And the boost it gave to Oppenheimer.
Yeah. Thanks, Oppenheimer. You're welcome, thank them.
Nolan.
That's it for this week's At Betches podcast. You can follow me at Sammy.
And me at Aileen. And please, if you love this show, even if you just like it and you're just feeling like so generous, please leave us a review. Say, give us 5 stars. Say, what's your favorite random pop culture moment that pops up into your head when you're driving from the train or driving from work? What makes you happy? What are those moments that you savor that are so funny and random that you love? Write it in the reviews, but give us 5 stars. And
well, I do want to just say to the reviewers who think that I'm antagonistic, I'm very sorry for being antagonistic. Sometimes it just happens and I don't even mean to. In the reality, I feel like I'm really not I feel like I'm not fighting, but I just have to keep talking. I don't know.
Sometimes
I don't mean to always need the last
working
word
on our things.
I don't mean to always need the last word. In fact, you can even have it right now.
Okay, well,
say whatever you want.
She's not letting me.
I'm sorry.
We'll see you next week on the At Betches podcast.
At Betches is produced by Sean Kilby and Holly Wilkinson, editing by Jazz Zapatos and Shannon Sassone. Be sure to follow At Betches on Instagram and send us your emails to podcast@betches.com.
Betches.